O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God is a lot like a mushroom. Did you know that? Do you know that under our feet, almost everywhere we go in this world, there are miles and miles of miscellanae? They're the hidden fibers of fungi underneath our feet, breaking down things so that nutrients can be gathered up and used by plants. They're working with root systems to help the roots absorb more nutrients out of the soil. They're breaking things down and creating new life. And these invisible things, which are one cell wall thick, are all over the world. These organisms can span huge spans of land, or they can be little tiny places. And the only time we really see them is when they burst forth, right? Out of the ground into a beautiful mushroom. That tastes wonderful for some people. The church and the kingdom of God is a lot like a mushroom. It's something that is invisible that you don't see around the world very often, but when it comes together and bursts forth, it creates something that is big and beautiful and colorful and makes a difference. Right? The kingdom of God is like a mushroom. And when we gather to worship, we are like that mushroom. We have gathered and been sent out. And then the fruit of our whole week comes together in one place and is made real and manifest. And the church, the kingdom of God, you and I, the people who make up the kingdom of God in this place, are real and visible. This is how the church functions. And when we gather to worship in this, what we call a service of worship, we gather together because of what God has done in each of our individual lives and how we've encountered God throughout the week. And we become something that is different when we're together. You see, individually, we're just a bunch of people, right? Some of us go out in groups of two. Some of us go out in groups of three. Some of us go out in groups of one. But we still go out and we live our daily lives of good, bad, and indifferent. Right? Anybody have a bad day this week? I'm the only one willing to admit that, right? All right, did you have a bad moment this week? Yeah, we all did. Anyone have a normal, forgettable day this week? Did you forget what you did on Monday? It was a long time ago, right? And then we had those beautiful, wonderful moments, didn't we? There was a good moment at some point this week in your life. You may have already forgotten it, but it was there. And these moments come with us everywhere we go throughout the week. And we sometimes forget that they were there, and sometimes they're so painful we can't forget them. But they were there nonetheless. And when we, the people of God, gather together in this place, the things that we've forgotten that still impact us, the joys, the sorrows, the indifferent, they're still there. And we bring them to this place. And that's something special because we have gathered all of those moments. Every day of the week, every moment of the week is worship because it comes together for us and how God impacts our lives. And so for the next several weeks, this week we're starting, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to worship and what happens when we worship God? What happens when the mushroom bursts forth through the concrete of this world and shows that it's really there and doing something? What happens when that thing that is invisible becomes visible and impacts the world in a better place, a better way? Bringing life-giving nutrients to the soil. Taking what is broken and making something out of it. This is what it means to worship and to be the people of God, to be the kingdom of God, to live into that reality here. And today, if you look at your bulletin, go ahead, pull it out. Everybody's got one near them if they don't have one individually. I know there's a lot of extra stuff. You can take the extra stuff and put it somewhere else. Read it later, like Susan said, right? In your bulletin, there's some words that are a little small, but they make you want to look, turn your bulletin sideways. These are the four movements that we have in worship. When we gather together as God's people to offer this service of worship to God, there are four movements. The first one is gathering. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, but I want to point out all of the movements to you because this is like a beautiful dance that we're all learning together. We gather together in this place, and then we proclaim why we've gathered. Proclaiming is what God is what we do in as people who have gathered. We proclaim what God has done, what God will do, what God is doing. And then the next movement is we respond to what God has done. Right? Because it doesn't do just to get together and say, yay, go team. We have to respond. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. And then the last movement, the final movement, and the essential movement is sending. Because if the church or the kingdom of God is like a mushroom, the point of the mushroom bursting forth is to send out spores, new colonies, to plant fungi, to continue to do the work of that organism elsewhere. And so the church sends us out into the world, because what we do in here has to impact how we live out there. Otherwise, it's all a big waste. And we'll talk more about that later. So these words are going to be in your bulletin to remind us of these movements as we continue to go forward and reflect on what it means to be the people of God in this place. What does it mean to worship? Does it just mean we set our clocks so that we can get up in time to look nice and pretty and come sit in a seat and warm a section of pew for an hour before we go to lunch? Or does it mean something more? Is there a spiritual reality that we're engaging with? And this is what it means when we gather. Because when we gather, we have to think about these things. This is what's going on spiritually for us. We read in Isaiah, well, Colleen read in Isaiah, and most of us listened, that God is gathering the people from the north, the east, the south, and the west. God is gathering up all of His people. Everyone. Every child of Abraham, which really is every single one of us, because of what Jesus has done. And then we read again in Revelation, we read further the end of the story, that what it will look like when God gathers everyone together. They will cast their crowns before the throne of God, which is a symbol of saying, you are God, we are not, and we will have come to worship you because you are good. You are salvation. You are who we want to be. You're the aim. You're God, and I'm not. And so if we are going to be the body of Christ, these movements, these dances will teach us how to be the body of Christ, how to be the church or the kingdom of God. The first one, that's everyone's least favorite part of every single worship service, the welcome and the announcements. It's the part that we can't wait to get through, right? Well, maybe if not the person, maybe not if you're the person giving the announcements, right, Susan? This is the neural network of the body of Christ, of our particular group of people. We do welcome and announcements because, one, we want to welcome everybody into the space because we're so happy you're here. It's awesome. Like Colleen, you said when you got up here, your heart is happy to be here and worship with us. Because we're together in this place. And the announcements, as good and bad and indifferent as they may be, depending on who is giving them, that's what is, it's the brain messages that go out into the body to say, this is what we're doing this week. Some of it may be autonomic and we don't really realize what's going on because it's what always goes on. And for some of you, that may be exactly how you relate to these announcements. Yeah, we know pecans are coming. They always come this time of year. Can't wait. But when they get here, they'll get here, right? For some of you, that's new news. Oh my gosh, the nut pecans are here. I can't wait. They taste awesome. You're awesome, Willow. I'm so glad you're here today. This is why we do welcome and announcements. Because we're happy to gather together. We're glad to be here. We want you to know what's going on so that you can be the body of Christ doing the different things in the world. But that's not why we gather necessarily. That's just one part. We gather together in this place because we want to live differently. Because Christians are just different people. And different doesn't necessarily mean bad. It means different. We do different things with our money. We behave differently. We talk differently to people. Hopefully we're able to have a civil conversation regardless of where we stand on any particular issue. We're not always perfect, but hopefully. And when we gather together, we need to center ourselves. This time of centering, this call to worship, those two things go hand in hand. The prelude is beautiful and helps us move into this. Because what we do when we get into this place, and within that centering, the prelude and the call to worship, we begin to slow down. To move out of the busyness and the hectic reality that the world tells us we need to live in. That if you're not working 70 hours a week, you are worth nothing. If you're retired, you're only worth what your 401k is worth. Right? You're only worth what you do. But that's not what we believe. That's not who we are. And so we need to move out of that rhythm, that busyness, that rat race, and come into this space. Take a deep breath and slow down. To center our hearts on God. To be led by beautiful music into this place where we can encounter God. Where the busyness, where the fantasy football team, where the grocery list, where the lunch plans can be put aside for a while. So that we can put the noise in the back and listen for God. And begin to move according to the rhythm that God has made. To dance the dance God has invited us to, which is a dance of worship. It is life-giving and it brings nurture to our souls. To step out, even for just an hour or an hour and 15 minutes if the preacher doesn't shut up. To be in a place where we can just be. And not be demanded upon of our time. This is the movement we experience when we center. We leave the rhythm of everywhere else and come into God's rhythm. In this place, spiritually, heaven and earth meet, right? In this place, we begin to experience a little bit of the kingdom of heaven made real and full, and as we worship. And this is what we're doing when we gather in. We gather in and we begin to see the throne room of heaven where those 24 elders, you got the 12 elders of the Jews, and you have their partners, the 12 elders of the Gentiles, and the four creatures which represent all of creation gathered together around God, singing God's praise. The uncountable mass of people gathered from all four corners of the world. Of every race, age, nation, language, comfort zone, not comfort zone. Gathered together in this place to be God's people. To celebrate who God is and encounter God. And then we begin to sing. St. Augustine, who is a name you may be familiar with because there's a city named after him here in Florida, said, "Whoever sings prays twice." And what I think he means by that is, one, you're singing the song, but the songs tend to stick and rattle around in your head for a while, especially if it's one you know. Now, songs you don't know, they tend to go out real quick, but after a while, the old ones tend to stick around. And so you sing them again and again and again, even if they don't come out of your mouth. This is what prepares us to enter into this time of proclamation, this gathering. We say goodbye to the busy rhythms, the rhythms that tell us that we're not good enough, the rhythms that tell us that we're never worthy, and we set into God's rhythm that says, "I love you. You are mine. Your name is beloved. You are worthy." And then there's another piece that we don't have in our bulletin. One that maybe we should add. It's the invocation, which is something that you pray at the beginning of a worship service, or you pray at the beginning of a meeting. And it's not so much an idea of where, like, the magical invoke the Spirit of God. God's already here. The prayer of invocation sounds a lot like this. "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, stepping out your door. You put one foot on the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no telling where they may take you." One of my favorite lines from the Fellowship of the Ring. It's Bilbo's advice to Frodo, who is the protagonist in that story. And that's kind of what the invocation is. That's really kind of what worship is. When we pray at the beginning of a worship service, we invite God to show up. We already know and we already believe that God is present with us everywhere we go. But when we pray and invite God, it's a way of saying, "God, my heart is open. Show up and do something in it. I need you to do something today. I've come and I've sat down, and I've stood, and I'll be prepared to sing some songs. And I want to experience your presence, God. I want you to be here in a way that will transform me and renew me." This is what we do in worship, right? And when we pray at the beginning of a worship service, that's what we invite God to do. And whether we pray that or not, we gather together. Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, slave and free, retired and abused. I shouldn't make light of abuse, but sometimes that's how it feels when you're working, right? Not me, because you all are awesome here. We gather together and we offer ourselves to God. We offer those moments where we were out walking and we saw a beautiful sunrise. Or if you're not a morning person, a beautiful sunset. We gather together and we offer to God those moments of heartache and heartbreak that we can't let go of because they show up every week, sometimes when we least expect them. We gather together and we bring the moments where that guy cut us off, and the only thing that kept us from ramming the back of his car was a sense that we really don't want to fix our own. The people who are laughing are all the people who wanted to do that this week. The rest of you were not driving on the road. We bring all of those moments, and we bring them to this table. And Sue, thank you for saying that whenever we gather together to break bread and drink wine, whether you drink wine or grape juice, we do grape juice here, but at home you may have wine. Whenever we gather, we remember the story of Jesus. And we celebrate it, right? We celebrate God's love who came and dwelt among us and taught us how to live and to pray and to treat people. And we remember. We remember what it means to be slaves, to not be in control of our daily schedule. We remember what it was not to be able to sleep through the night without wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. We gather around a table and we remember. We remember who God is and what God has done and how He has brought us all together in this place. And just as this bread is going to be broken, we come broken already, hoping God will make us whole. And that's what happens in worship. God begins to heal us and move us into one loaf of bread that at the end will be broken and sent forth into this world to bring other broken pieces of bread. And today we're about to celebrate this communion meal, and there's one piece of the liturgy that I really want to point you to. You don't have to look it up right now, because we're going to get there. There's a piece that says, "And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn." When we gather to worship, we gather not just with the people in here, we gather with the people all throughout space, around the world, and all throughout time. We gather with the people who are gathered around the throne, which we read about in Revelation. We gather with the people whom you love and have lost. We gather with the people whom you will never meet until you are face to face with them in God's reality. And today we remember All Saints Day. We remember those who have gone on to the church triumphant. And we remember their names. They're in the bulletin. And we are celebrating communion with them. So when we get to that line, it includes everybody. And when you come forward to celebrate communion, there are candles on either side. And the people that are on your heart that you want to remember, that you have lost, all of the saints. I invite you to take a candle. I'm not going to leave the lighter down here. I'm going to have candle. There will be a candle lit. Take a candle that isn't lit. Light it from one of the others, because every one of us heard and received this flame from somebody else. And you can put it in the sand as a burning witness to that light of Christ, which comes to us from someone else who invited us to gather together. I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal as we move into this time of remembrance and celebration.